be up here again, once again. I mean, all the positive feedback that we receive from you guys is just a blessing to be a part of this church. I'm not going to lie, it's fantastic. On the behalf of us and the youth, we are just so excited to be up here again. We just want to say thank you for all the love that we receive from you guys. And this is, like I said, such a blessing to be up here, to be able to preach for y'all, to be able to preach God's word, and just be able to serve you guys and just try our best to deliver a message and just, you know, do our best to just do what's right. So, as you guys know, am I good? All right. But as you guys know today, that's nice. Neat. Thank you. As you can see right here, I'm talking about family because, you know, today's a family fun fest. And, you know, we just coming off of Slate's character study, individual character study. So kind of wanted to change it up. Instead of just talking about different characters, I want to talk about a group. And as you can see right here, a specific group, family. So if you would please open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 and then turn to verse 18 through 21. We're just going to go ahead and start right there to get us started. All right. And then before I go ahead and start reading, for those of you that have the Bible app, if you look, it says instructions for a Christian household, in which I think this is pretty important for us to pay attention to, because I know a lot of us, we read the Bible. I know, including myself, I'm no exception. We read the Bible, and sometimes, like, we take what it says from the Bible. Matter of fact, what Kingdom Kids, they actually read James 1:22. Not only must you read the Bible, you must listen and do what the Bible says. And so I think this is a great place for us to start. But if you go ahead and look at it and read, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged." Now, see, I know a lot of us are familiar, especially with verse 20 and 21, because, you know, as kids, you know, we love to bring up children, obey your parents. I mean, I'm sorry, parents, you love to bring up children, obey your parents and everything, for this pleases the Lord. And, you know, we love to retaliate with the next verse, of course. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged, which is, I think, is one of the best verses in the Bible, if you ask me. But seriously, if you sit here and read this, it's, you know, telling us, you know, to love one another, to come together, to how to treat each other as a family, you know, because, you know, today we live in a world where I would say, you know, we come from a, where it's not so, they don't view it as a bad idea to come from a not together household where, you know, it's a lot of single parent homes, or mothers and fathers are leaving their kids to be raised by a single parent, or sometimes they both leave and just push it off to the aunts, uncles, grandparents, or, you know. So I just, you know, we need to start coming back together as a family, you know, start raising kids, and, you know, kids start helping parents reignite that flame, what it, you know, means to come together and just come together as people of God and just raising each other and helping each other become better as a family. And then if you will please turn to 1 Peter, and we're going to be looking at chapter 3. And then if you want to go ahead, turn to verse 8, it reads, "Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble." I think that's very important, because going back to what I was saying just a moment ago, you know, we all need to come together. We need to support each other as a family and be together. And right here it even says be like-minded, be sympathetic. And I think that right there alone is just very important, because a lot of times, like I said, coming from homes that are not together, or homes or families that don't treat each other as family, you know, when we come together, we're not really a family. We're just a group of people who share the same DNA. And I don't think that's enough. And you can't really call that family, especially if you're not under God. Because God, he writes it for us in the Bible. He tells us not only how to be a family, he tells us how to prosper as a family, how to grow as a family, and whether it be inside the church or outside the church, he tells us what to do as Christians. But even in the Bible, if you go through and look, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and open up verse 8. But before I get to that, I just want to talk about some of the families in the Bible. Like, We're not perfect. We all know that. We have room to grow. We have room to improve as people and as Christians. But even if you look in the Bible, you know, you got Adam and Eve, their sons Cain and Abel. Cain was so jealous of Abel that he took him out and he killed him, because one, because God chose one over the other. He chose his livestock. I'm sorry, I lost the word. He chose his animals over Cain's food from the ground. He chose that, and then Cain was so jealous that he ended up killing his brother. And then you got Isaac and Rebekah. I'm sorry for all the Rebekahs out there. Isaac and Rebekah. And then you got Jacob's and his. You got Jacob and his brothers tried to kill him. They threw him in a well. And I just think that's, you know, these are people that we look to in the Bible, and we look through their stories, and you know they all come from these big families, and they come from these, you know, ideas of what it means to come together as one. And I just think that this is important to go back and look at them, because they're what we're supposed to be, but yet they have their faults and they have their issues. And I just think that is something very important that we need to just keep in mind every time you mess up, or you might say something to a loved one that you didn't mean to say, or you do something. I just think that, you know, if you say you're such a jerk, I don't think it's bad as beating up your brother and throwing him in the well. So just if you ever feel bad, just keep that in mind. But if you're at 1 Timothy, like I said, chapter 5, verse 8, if you want to go ahead and read it real fast. It says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And I think that's probably one of the most important things that I will probably talk about today altogether, because it says, if you do not provide for your relatives, it doesn't even say if you don't provide for your mother, for your kids, brothers. It says relatives in general. That means cousins, you know, twice cousin removed from your step uncle's Betty side. You know what I'm saying? it just says relatives in general, and it says especially for their own household, especially those are the ones you're supposed to take care of. But it says relatives in general, and it doesn't even say you're a bad person. It doesn't say, oh yeah, you're just, yeah, you need to work on it. No, it says that you are worse than someone who has denied God's faith, and you are worse than an unbeliever, someone who doesn't even look to God, or rather who doesn't believe he exists or tries to deny his existence altogether. He says you are worse than them. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty bad when you look at it, and just the world that we live in today, where it's just where we straight up say, hey, it's okay if you come from a single parent, or if you don't have any siblings, and if you don't respect your parents, and you don't, you know, we treat that as it's an okay thing, just brush it off and grow up and deal with it. But no, like it says right here, you are especially the worst. You're worse than someone who does not come to me when they need me, or someone who doesn't even acknowledge my existence. You are worse than them. And then just kind of a verse to keep in mind that I wanted to look at. If you look at 1 John, you don't have to turn to it, but I'm going to go ahead and read it for you guys. But just a verse to keep in mind, if you go to 1 John chapter 4, and you read verse 20, it says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have seen, who they have not seen. Now, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? He's saying, hey, man, you want to love me? That's great. But you say you love me, but my children, your family, who you see every day, who you grew up with, who y'all came from the same womb, you don't even love them. So how can I expect you to love me when you don't even treat the people that you're the same, came from the same person? How can I expect you to love me when you don't even love them? I mean, I just think that's something that we need to keep in mind, because I think a lot of times we often tend to take family for granted because, you know, oh, yeah, they're my blood. You know, they owe me this, or, you know what I'm saying? I owe them that or whatever. You know, it's fine. But no, he says, if you don't even love them, how can I expect you to love me? So I just think that's something, you know, we need to keep in mind, because a lot of times we often tend to do stuff like that, but then just say, oh, yeah, it's different with God. But no, it's the same thing. You look. Just as he loves us, we're supposed to love everybody, and that definitely, especially, includes family. But please, if you open up the Ephesians chapter 5, and then verses 29 to 30. It says, after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does for the church. For we are members of this body. And, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I kind of let myself go, so I can't really say that I 100% care for my body. But like he says, no one hates their own body. So, and we all know we are a body of Christ. And I'm pretty sure I talked about this in my last lesson, how, you know, you don't talk to your foot and you don't say, hey, shake somebody's hand. And you don't, you know, talk to your mouth and say, hey, can you taste this for me? Like, no, we all play a specific part in the body of God, in the Word of God. We all play a specific part. And just as you take care of your physical body, you take care of your spiritual, mental, and church body. And that includes not only yourself, but that includes your brothers and sisters around you. So not even just your family that you were born into, but the family that you're adopted into via through the baptism, through God, the ones that you come together. So Slate came to me, he said, hey, Dorian, I need you to do this. The same way if my mom were to ask me, hey, Dorian, could you do this? And Slate asked me, or Julie asked me, or Luke, or anybody else in this church, the same way I say yes to my mom, I'll be like, yes. Because that's how God wants us to treat each other. He wants us to treat each other as an extension of our own family, as he wants us to treat us as we were our own people. And then as we're getting close to the end of this, I want to go ahead and just go over a few more verses and just look through the Bible a little bit more. And then go ahead, turn to Galatians. And then we're going to read, we're going to be in chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. All right, this is kind of a lengthy one, so just go ahead, try to keep up. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And this is the most important part of this whole of these few verses right here. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's amazing, isn't it? Knowing that if you're baptized through God, that it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, your status, it doesn't matter where you want to go, where you came from, that he said, hey, you're baptized, you're part of my family, you're with me, I got you covered. It doesn't matter who says what, because even God says, for if I stand with you, who shall stand against me? No matter who your enemy is. And I just think that's powerful to read that and know that because you were baptized, you were brought into God's family, that it doesn't matter who you are, that doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter your past, that you will forever be in his family all the way from now to the time that you leave this earth all the way up in heaven, that you will be with him and be able to bask in his glory and share his blessings. And then as we're getting ready to wrap this up, I just want to go ahead, actually just go over a couple of chapters to Galatians chapter 5. And then we're going to be reading verses 5 through 7. It says, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? It's just a little confusing. But no, this is great because like verse 5 says, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith for righteousness for which we hope. So, okay. Yeah, so like reading this is a good thing because like I said, like verse 5, you just keep reading, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So that's going back to what I said actually just a couple moments ago. It's a great thing because it doesn't matter who you are, what you came from, as long as you express your faith and you're, you know, love your family, you're just caring for one another, whether it be at home or whether it be here or whether it be to God in front of his presence, it doesn't matter. As long as you're expressing your faith to God, it's a great thing, and no one's a slave to sin no more. You are a part of him, and you can be free and just do what God says you can do. It's a great thing. Thank you.